I'm at that age where I also need to switch glasses in between. It's terrible. It's terrible. While I'm getting ready, if you want to flip in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll get there in just a few moments. As you're turning there, I want to share with you a story about a young man named Daniel. He was hiking alone through the mountains when this sudden fog rolled in, and we live in central PA, and we've got hills and valleys and mountains, so you understand what I'm talking about when a fog can come in and it can just blind our path. He was lost and he was disoriented, and he came to the edge of this cliff. And according to the map that he had with him, there was to be a narrow bridge that stretched across to the other side. But he just could not see it through the fog. The wind howled, he looked down and he couldn't see the bottom, and his instinct screamed, "Stay where it's safe." But in his heart, he felt God saying, "Just trust me and walk forward." So trembling, Daniel took one step and then another and another. And slowly he placed his foot forward and he felt solid wood beneath him. The bridge, it was there. Step by step, in total darkness that day, he crossed what he could not see. And when he reached the other side, the fog had miraculously lifted. And behind him stretched a sturdy wooden bridge built long, long ago by others who had also walked by faith. So Pine Glen Church, let me ask you this morning, do you ever feel like you're standing at the edge of something, but the fog just is not lifting for you? Maybe it's a decision. Maybe it's a relationship or perhaps a future you can't quite see. Well, if you have ever stood on that edge and said, "God, I want to trust you, but I can't see where this is going," then I believe this message today is for you. You see, faith means we move not because we see the way, but because we know the one who leads the way. And like Daniel in this story, we are sometimes called to step forward into the unknown, believing God's promises are stronger than what our eyes can see. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 tells us that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And some of you here at Pine Glen are living in that fog right now as a church family. You don't have a permanent pastor at the moment. But I do believe you have a pretty great transitional pastor in Chad and his delightful wife, Kate. And you should be grateful to God for him having them here in this transition time. But I know you're looking forward. You want to know what God has for what's next. So I believe this message is especially for Pine Glen today. And like I already said, faith means we move not because we see the way, but because we need to learn how to trust the one who does. Even in a season without a permanent shepherd leading Pine Glen. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we do adore you. We do thank you for this opportunity we have to gather in this space today. We thank you for the beauty of the snow outdoors, the reminder that you can wash all of our sins white as snow. Thank you for that. Thank you for this creation you've given to us to enjoy. Now, Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Give us everything we need right now as we lean into you. And would you speak through me? May it not be what I have, but what you have for this church body today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, I've already said my name is Sean Moon. I am the gathering pastor at Calvary Church in downtown Lewistown. Our next gen pastor was out here a few months back, and he preached a sermon. He's the same age as me, but he has like 30 to 50 times the amount of energy that I have. And I'll stay in one spot. He was probably like all over the stage that day. That's just how God has shaped and created him. And then my pastor, Dan Nold, has been here with you in the past as well. And I think he shared about what it looks like to be a front yard missionary, where you live, learn, work, and play. Well, we're delighted to be part of what God is doing in Mifflin County. I am a husband to my beautiful and lovely wife, Tara. We have been married for almost 31 years. Yeah, that's right. We got married when we were about 12 or 13. We have two adult daughters, Our oldest, Victoria, was married last June, and she and her husband, Tristan, are already expecting their first child, so I'll be a grandfather in about a month and a half. We're very excited about this new season. They're expecting a little boy. His name is Everett. We didn't know of many Everetts until they chose this name, and now we're learning all sorts of Everetts around us, but we love that. Our youngest daughter, we just had her wedding shower yesterday. She's getting married to her fiance, Isaac, on April 11th. So April's going to be a very busy month for the Moon family. We have the wedding on the 11th. We have a baby coming at the end of the month. The doctors are telling my oldest daughter that she's measuring ahead. So it could be a really interesting wedding day. We're not sure what God has in plan for all that. Life is full, though. Tara and I love riding our Harley-Davidson motorcycle. We love seeing the countryside. We have two prerequisites when we travel. Number one is we do not do advanced hotel reservations. If you understand traveling by a motorcycle, you just never know what the weather is going to do. So we get to a point in the middle of the day, and we think we'll get to a destination, and so we'll make a hotel reservation as we're just a couple hours away. And the second prerequisite we have is that we never do a chain restaurant, so we're always finding these incredible eateries, mom-and-pop type of things, all over the countryside, and it has just been a way for us to disconnect and reconnect fully to all that God has for us. And I think so often we go through life with blinders on and don't see the beauty of what God has for us. Well, it is a privilege for me to be here with you this morning. I've been praying and trusting that God will speak through me and that his spirit would move and stir in each of us as we lean into all that he has for us today. Well, last summer at Calvary, our teaching series was titled By Faith, and we walked through some really, really incredible stories from Scripture that all begin with those two words, by faith. So I like a little bit of participation when I'm leading, so I'm going to ask you at different times to help me out. So right now, would you just say those words with me, by faith? Would you say, by faith? That was pretty good. I'm impressed, but I think we can do that one more time. Go ahead.
By faith.
Excellent. These are not fairy tales that we're going to read about today. These are not superhero stories. These are the lived experiences of ordinary people who met an extraordinary God. So we're going to begin here in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 to begin with. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by it, our ancestors won God's approval. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible." So let's begin by defining faith. Faith is the confidence in what we cannot see. We see that in verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So let's break this down. Faith is not just a good feeling. Faith is not blind optimism. It's not wishful thinking or a term we hear in our culture today, good vibes. Faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means trust, belief, confidence, a deep, settled assurance in the promises of God. And where do we find his promises? Of course, right here, in the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. My pastor said it's not enough to believe in Jesus. We must believe Jesus, period. Let me give you a picture. Imagine a tightrope stretched across the Grand Canyon, and a man walks across it pushing a wheelbarrow. He gets to the other side, and people go crazy for his accomplishment. They applaud him loudly. Then he says, "Who believes I can do it again, but this time with somebody inside the wheelbarrow?" Yeah, as you can imagine, it was crickets. Nobody wanted to step into that. Faith doesn't just say, "I believe you can." It says, "I am getting in." It becomes very active. Second thing we see here is by faith, ordinary people trusted an extraordinary God. Now, we're going to read the rest of this passage from verse 4 to verse 40. And you may say, why are we reading the rest of this passage? Well, I believe this is exactly how God speaks to us. So again, if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as I, if you're able to, I'm going to read these verses for us, and then we're going to dig it into it and tear it apart just a little bit. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away, and so he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she's considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and as innumerable as the grains of sand along the seashore. These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that they were promised, but they saw them from a distance. They greeted them and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son, the one to whom it had been said, your offspring will be called through Isaac. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received him back, figuratively speaking. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength and weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on the mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us so that they would not be made perfect without us. You may be seated. This is like walking through the hall of faith. I'm using the Christian Standard Bible, and in my translation, at least 18 times we see those two words, by faith. So in the few moments we have together today, I want to explore a few of them, each, I believe, with a lesson for us this morning. First one, Abraham. Faith walks without all of the details. Faith walks without all the details. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed, and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. God said, go, and Abraham said, okay, where to? Put yourself in those shoes. How often when you feel a nudge from God, do you respond that quickly? God said, I will show you. Faith doesn't mean we know all of the steps. It means we trust the one who gives the steps. And faith begins where comfort ends. I believe that's where this church is right now. God has not shown you the name or the face of your next pastor. You don't have all of the details. But like Abraham, you can say, Lord, if you say go, we'll go. If you say wait, we will wait. We trust you, God, to lead this church one step at a time. And then we see Sarah. Faith believes even when it seems impossible. And we see that in verse 11. Sarah was 90 years old when God promised that she would have a son. And she laughed. It seemed absurd to her. Can you imagine? 90 years old. But God turned her laugh of disbelief into a laugh of joy. Faith does not ignore the facts that lie in front of us. It believes in God's promises for us anyway. And you've probably heard the expression said, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And maybe some of you are beginning to wonder, will we ever find the right shepherd for our church? Are there any pastors out there who would even want to come here? Well, I believe Sarah's story reminds us that God is not limited by your age, your size, your zip code, or your budget. If God has promised to build his church, which I believe he has, then even when it feels impossible, you can keep on believing. And then we see Moses. Faith chooses calling over comfort. We see this in verses 24 to 25. Moses had access to wealth. He had access to privilege and power in Pharaoh's palace. But he chose suffering over sin because he saw the invisible reward. In Luke chapter 14, if you dig into this later, verses 25 to 35, it tells us that there is a cost to following Jesus. And I think that the church needs to reclaim the word surrender. We use the word commitment far too often. It's become too easy in our culture. We can get any attorney to break any marriage covenant or business covenant. So do you see the parallel here when Jesus says that we need to take up your cross? Moses understood this kind of sacrifice fully. And then there's Rahab in verse 31. Faith transforms a broken past. You see, Rahab's story is one of contrast, but also of hope. In fact, in your own time, I would encourage you to go back and check out this story in Joshua chapter 2. Jericho's people feared God's judgment and perished, but Rahab feared God in faith, and she was saved. She risked her life for a God that she had only just heard of, and in return, God gave her a name, he gave her a place, and he gave her a legacy. Her story whispers the gospel, which says no one, actually no, I don't believe it whispers it. I believe it screams the gospel story that says no one is too far gone, too stained, or too broken to be part of God's plan. From the rubble of Jericho rose a testimony that would echo throughout eternity. Grace reaches even here. You see, Rahab didn't have the pedigree. She was a prostitute in a pagan city. But God used her obedience to save her family and placed her in the genealogy of Jesus. I love that. So maybe you need to hear this today. Your past does not disqualify you. Faith is not about where you have been, but about who you trust. And then in verses 32 through 38, there is a whole list of others. Faith is not always flashy. Some of them shut the mouths of lions. Some were sawed in two. It sounds terrible. Some raised the dead. Some were homeless. Faith is not always victorious in the world's eyes. Sometimes faith leads to miracles. Other times, it'll lead to martyrdom. But faith always pleases our God. You may have heard of a ministry called Alpha, a simple but powerful course that introduces people to Jesus through open, honest conversations over meals. In fact, isn't that what Jesus taught us? If we look in the Gospels, he was always having a meal with somebody. Why don't we do that more? Why don't we spend more time with people that we know that we also believe don't have a relationship with God? We're already preparing a meal for ourselves. Have someone over for a meal. Share your story with them. Anyway, today, Alpha program has been used in over 100 different countries and has helped over 30 million people hear the gospel. But maybe you don't know how it started. It started with a young British lawyer named Nicky Gumbel who left his legal career because he was feeling called into full-time ministry. He was not a dynamic preacher. He wasn't a charismatic leader. But by faith, he said yes to leading a small group at his local Anglican church in London. One day, he was asked to rework a simple introductory course for people that were curious about Christianity. And he could have said, no, that's too small. No, that's too simple. But instead, he prayed and he obeyed. By faith, he stepped into what he felt was something ordinary. And over time, that group grew. It multiplied. The Church Holy Trinity of Brompton became a hub of renewal, and eventually, Alpha spread across the world. And today, churches from all backgrounds, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, you name it, use Alpha to reach the lost. All because one man said, by faith, I will do what God puts in front of me, even if it feels small. So let me ask you, what is it that God is saying to you? What small step is God asking you to take by faith? What ministry that seems insignificant might God want to use to change somebody else's eternity? What this story shows is that the cloud of witnesses that we read here in Hebrews chapter 11 didn't end in Scripture. In fact, you and I, we are also in this story. So let me talk for a moment about what it means to live by faith without a permanent pastor here at Pine Glen. Hebrews 12 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That us includes your church in this exact season. So what does by faith look like for you as a congregation right now? By faith. Perhaps you continue to keep gathering even when it would be easier to drift. By faith, you keep praying, Lord, send us the shepherd of your choosing even when you've waited longer than what you've expected. By faith, you guard your unity, refusing to let the enemy use this waiting season to divide you. And by faith, you keep serving, you keep giving, you keep loving your community because the mission does not go on pause while you continue to search for your permanent pastor. And then Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. This great cloud of witnesses, they are not just watching, they are testifying. They're saying, we have been there. God is faithful. Keep going. You're not just reading the Bible. You are part of the ongoing story, and they are cheering for us. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to turn to someone next to you or near you and say, God is still writing our story. Would you do that? Say, God is still writing our story. Make sure you reciprocate it. God is still writing our story. Let us run the race that is marked out for us. You have your own lane. Do not be very careful. Do not compare yourselves to others. Don't drift into somebody else's calling. We need to throw off the things that hinder us, the things that are distracting us. Not just sin, distraction, comfort, approval, addictions, lust, greed, workaholism. And how do we do that? Well, Scripture is very clear. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Don't fix your eyes on Moses. Don't fix them on Abraham. Don't fix them on Pastor Chad or your elder team. We look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Jesus didn't just model this. He pioneered it. He endured the cross for the joy, Scripture says, that was set before him, and that joy was you. So here's where it gets more personal. What is your by faith sentence? Because I believe that God is still writing by faith stories today. So what I want you to do is take a moment to consider this. By faith, maybe, you could adopt one of these. By faith, I'll start a conversation with my neighbor or coworker about God. By faith, I will give to the church for the very first time. By faith, I will forgive somebody who deeply hurt me. By faith, I believe God for healing, even when it does not come quickly. By faith, I will pray daily for our future pastor and his family, even though I don't know their names yet. By faith, I will stay committed to this church instead of church hopping out of frustration. By faith, I will step up to serve where there is a gap during this pastorless season. By faith, as a leader, I will seek God's heart more than my own preferences in this search process. By faith, my wife Tara and I, we stepped into the unknown in the summer of 2017. We had no plan, but God opened up doors. We left comfort, we left the security of a paycheck, and we didn't know what was next. That was the summer that our family adopted Psalm 46, verse 10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." You see, what I was not doing was being still. I was doing anything but being still. And when we live in the culture that we live in today, it's so easy to drift away. There's so many distractions. We had to separate. We had to separate from the things of the world to focus on what God wanted for us. By faith, a core group, about 20 people, leaned into what would it look like to have a different expression of worship in downtown Lewistown. By faith, God provided us with a building through other people's surrender, through their generosity, and through vision. And here's what I believe for Pine Glen Church. I believe that God will provide a permanent pastor for you. I don't believe it's that far away. I've sat in your seats before, and I know that it's frustrating, and I know that it can be tough. And oftentimes, the devil plants these seeds of doubt and confusion, like God doesn't have a plan for this. That is a lie from the enemy. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep trusting in faith that Jehovah Jireh, faithful provider, will provide. In early 2018, when we were trying to figure out what this expression of a church in downtown Lewistown looked like, I had to prepare a vision statement to share with a group of people as my wife and I went through what they called church planter assessments. And at the top of the page, before I shared this, and I'm just going to read down through some of the bullet points that I wrote, but I wrote, God is in control. Psalm 46:10, when it says, be still and know that I'm God, it means surrender. Let your hands just go slack. And I had to realize in that moment, when I was standing in front of some peers and some others that were assessing whether God had given me the gifts and had called me into ministry, it was an anxious time. But here's some of the things that I shared about why we wanted to be part of planting a church in downtown Lewistown. And I said this, I'm sure you've heard something like this about our community. This town is a joke. Our economy is so horrible and our education system is falling to pieces. Can you believe the decisions that our local government is making? This drug situation is way out of control. Why isn't anybody doing anything about this? And truth is, most of us are quick to offer up our judgments, our gripes, and our complaints. We are good at criticizing, scrutinizing, and analyzing everything. We're armchair quarterbacks. We are backseat drivers. And the million-dollar question is, who's willing to really do something about it? Let me give you a few facts about our town. It's traditional. 25% of the people living there are under the poverty line. Remember, this is back in 2018. It was recently listed number 4 as one of the most, and this is terrible, but it was listed as one of the most white trash cities in Pennsylvania. White trash is defined as a person or group who embody the concepts of ignorance, racism, violence, alcoholism, and poverty. According to the 2010 census, there are approximately 47,000 residents in Mifflin County. 11,000 of those residents claim to have an evangelical affiliation. And let's be honest, that might mean they attend a church at Christmas or Easter. Simple math would then tell us that 36,000 plus people in our county are unchurched and unreached. So many people are just wandering around aimlessly and hopelessly. Drug addictions, homelessness, poverty, and a welfare system that is generational. And like Nehemiah in the Bible, we see a need for our community. We're praying about the need and we're ready to take action. However, unlike Nehemiah, we aren't rebuilding a wall. In fact, we will do the exact opposite as we start Calvary Lewistown. We'll go beyond our walls to connect people to Christ, to community, and to their individual calling. Lewistown churches have struggled for a long time in partnering, and I personally co-signed with church ministries in Lewistown, and through trial and error and many mistakes, I have been first-hand witness as to what is not working. It's necessary to take the walls down so that we are able to see real change in family relationships, drugs and crime, homelessness. There are some really great people inside of our community, so we plan to tear walls down by collaborating with churches, shelters, and other nonprofit agencies to make the most kingdom impact. We believe that we are better when we work together. And that unity is a command. We heard that earlier in the prayer time. Unity is a command that we need to live out. Lewistown does not need another country club church practicing religion. Lewistown and Mifflin County needs Jesus. Lewistown needs a group of people who love Jesus and are committed to engage in relationships that will ultimately point others to Christ. So back to the million-dollar question, who is going to do something about this? Well, it's been a joy to be part of what God is doing in Mifflin County. In fact, here's just a little bit of an update of what I'm seeing. People are getting saved and baptized and discipled. In our church building, 3 Sundays ago, we had 11 people get baptized publicly, declaring that they were going to live for Jesus. Last year, you heard what I said. There was an article that said we were one of the most white trash communities in Pennsylvania. Last year, Lewistown was named as one of the top 10 coolest small towns in central PA. What a change. pastors are meeting together regularly to pray and encourage each other. I love getting to meet with Pastor Chad and being able to hear from him and what God's doing at Pine Glen. And we get to pray with him and with you for who God would have in store for you as your permanent pastor. We're linking arms with local organizations. And I just can't help but to think that there's a few more Rahabs in our community. There's a few more out there. God is drawing to himself to be part of his kingdom movement. We're excited to link arms with you, Pine Glen. We're excited to pray with you and for you, to see the kingdom of God advance in our community. So let's land the plane. Back to the story at the beginning about Daniel. Like Daniel on that bridge, you as a church are taking steps that you can't fully see. Meeting, praying, searching, showing up on Sundays without knowing who will stand here long term. But the bridge is not your pastoral search committee. The bridge is really the faithfulness of our great God. One day, I believe this fog is going to lift for you. You will see the pastor that God has promised, and you're going to look back, and you're going to realize the same God who walked with Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Rahab walked with your church every step of the way. Can almost hear that tune now, that secular song. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. That's what God does. He lifts the fog after we step out in faith. The same God who walked with Abraham and Sarah and Rahab and Moses, he is walking with you right now. He still heals. He still provides. He still breaks chains. He still writes new chapters. I've had the privilege of getting to know some of the members of the Christian band Sidewalk Prophets, and they wrote a song way back that some of the lyrics say, "Be strong in the Lord, never, never give up hope. You're going to do great things, I already know. God has his hand on you. Would you live in that assurance, in that confidence that his hand is on you?" So let me ask you again, what will your by faith sentence be this morning? What is God saying to you? Again, it doesn't have to be a dramatic answer. Maybe your by faith is as simple as saying, "By faith, I'm going to say yes to God," or "By faith, I'm going to love my spouse better this week." What matters is the step that you take, not the size of it. So I want to give you just a few moments in silence right now to ponder, what is your by faith sentence? I'll give you a few moments to do that, and then I'm going to ask you to participate with me. So if you just want to bow your heads, close your eyes, and invite the presence of God in for your by faith sentence.